This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Marvin Somlow. And Marvin's going to talk about their company, BioLife4D, and explain to us what they do, a little bit about how they get into it, and more. Marvin, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
I appreciate, Scott, for having the opportunity to talk with you today. As you mentioned, I am now working at BioLife4D. I am... been in the past an active alternative investment investor and wealth manager, and I recently, a couple of years ago, was approached for the opportunity to become a founding investor in BioLife4D by Stephen Morris, who was starting up the company.
And what do you guys do? What does BioLife4D do?
All right, so it's a good question. BioLife4D is working to optimize current medical technologies to use 3D bioprinting techniques to ultimately print a viable human heart for transplant. And the key is using one's own cells. So the exciting thing about bioprinting is it'll eventually eliminate the concerns about rejection and the need to take immunosuppressant therapy drugs to offset someone putting a new transplanted organ into one's heart.
Fascinating. So sort of that's the effort, sort of ultimately. And how far away is this? And how did your organization get into this? How did Steve Morris get into this? How did this get going?
All right. Well, Stephen had a medical device business before that he'd been working with precise medical device growth and doing printing, doing on the materials, though. And after he sold his business to private equity, took a little time off, and started looking to do possibly a 3D rapid prototype business when he kind of stumbled upon looking at bioprinting ideas. And he approached me and said, you know, take a look at this. He knew I had interest in not only in the biomedical field, but also I was looking to try to get involved with something that could have a potential major impact on people's lives. And so I read about it. I'm like, there's no way this stuff is true. And when they're talking about converting one person's cells to other people's, to another kind of cell, and then eventually put it into a printer to make a viable organ. And I'm like, come on, Steve, you got to be a little bit nuts to think this is not Buck Rogers technology. So what he did to encourage me to get on board and put some money into the company is he broke down the process into a number of different steps. And it turns out along the way that the major academic schools have been working on different aspects of the bioprinting process. So we went out and looked and talked to some of the leaders in each of the categories where, like I said, major universities like Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Carnegie Mellon, Northwestern, or whatever. And one by one, by listening to these scientists and academic professors, recognize that this technology is here, it's for real. It's just a matter of time where it's going to be in a state where people can actually produce these organs and actually be implanted. So you kind of had me sold on that.
And what are some of the key trends or the key hurdles, both from getting from point A to point B, where this actually becomes workable technology? And won't this require so much money to fund to get from point A to point B?
Well, those are good questions. But first of all, the one thing that I didn't realize that, because I deal with some of my own health issues and challenges on the cancer side, that one out of three people die from cardiovascular heart-related diseases. If you combine all the cancers together, more people pass away from cardio challenges than all these cancers. So I was like, wow, this is just a marketplace that, you know, needs to be looked into. How are people going to get the chance to get better lives? And part of the reason BioLife has the number 4D in there is the fourth dimension, which we're trying to provide people, you know, the fourth dimension is time. So one of the challenges when you get a transplant is you're really kind of trading one disease for another because, again, you have so much rejection issues, your immune system shuts down. So the real trend in the marketplace in general is to get individualized paths to treat, you know, current health challenges, whether you're using DNA, you know, splicing, or in our case, doing bioprinting for the transplant market. And so part of the challenge we've uncovered and recognize is that only 3,500 or so heart transplants are performed every year, even though there's over 200,000 people that have late stage heart related issues. And even more so that if, you know, if they could qualify, they would be great candidates to have some kind of a transplant. So the trend is, you know, is trying to figure out how do we get more access to people and more products, so to speak, so that these people have a better chance to have some kind of life-saving approach.
Fascinating. Now, is it just the heart, or like you hear so much? I mean, what you said is exactly right about heart disease versus cancer, is that heart disease is like diabetes. Everybody has it to some extent. Everybody's pre-diabetic, pre-heart disease. It's just a matter of how bad. And when people have all these clogged arteries and those kinds of things, does an artificial heart or this kind of stuff help that? Because it seems that these are things that lead to the heart, but not the heart itself. Or will this ultimately all play into the same sandbox?
Well, there's a couple things. One, you know, the reason that Stephen and BioLife chose the heart is compared to there are people working on bioprinting lungs, liver, kidneys, and other kind of tissues. The reason we picked the heart, besides being the leading cause of death, was that there's multiple components inside a heart. So you got your valves and, you know, different aspects that people need, heart patches after heart attacks, or they have grafts that they're involved in when they have strokes. And so, you know, the general thoughts are, you know, let's continue to work on each portion of these, get the approvals, make the progress. And then, you know, by having healthier lifestyles, we hope, you know, that will contribute to some of this preventive work that you're mentioning. But one of the things that BioLife has been working on, and we made a major announcement last September, is what we call the mini heart. So the mini heart is not going to need FDA approval, because it's not meant to go into humans. Right now, any kind of drug that's being tested out there, whether it's for diabetes or high blood pressure, you name it, needs to have a cardiovascular toxicity test done. So when they're in the middle of their animal trials, they need to prove that even if the drug is curing some of these other diseases, or at least improving the chances of being a cure, they need to prove that it's not going to cause a heart attack. So like the number one place that drugs tend to fail during FDA is right before they had human trials. So we've been working with our development team in Houston to create a mini heart to be used solely for the purpose of a better predictor for the big pharma and biotech companies on drugs that they're trying to get approved and give them confidence to go to full human trials. So the hope is if they can start testing these things early on with something that's, you know, animal hearts have been great because that's all they, the only choice they have out there, but they're obviously a big move to reduce that kind of testing and also to get more confidence that what they're testing on really will be a predictor of what the future drugs will be. So we're hoping long-term that that'll have another effect on improving people's health.
No, and thank you. So one more question, Marvin. When you look at this, in this complex startup world, you know, a biotech startup, you know, what are a couple of things you've learned so far that you could share with our audience, just sort of advice in steering through this thing, you know, and trying to get from point A to point B? What lessons have you learned so far that you could share with the audience?
Well, one of the things that when we first got involved with this entire company, everyone involved has had some experience with family members or themselves with some health-related challenge. And one of the things we learned was that, you know, it's important to go after, you know, as a business and commercialization, huge financial gains. But if you truly have an impactful cause that could, you know, kind of leave a legacy for yourself, but really affect possibly millions of people's lives, you get a chance to bring in a different audience. So what BioLife initially did, instead of going the traditional route of financing between friends and family and some of the venture capital world out there, is we actually did an equity crowdfunding campaign where we got SEC and FINRA authorization to sell shares to unaccredited investors. So the initial investment into our company was $250, the minimum dollar amount. We were fortunate to raise a couple million dollars and kind of bring along a campaign, I guess, or a following of people who are really hoping to kind of go on this mission and journey with us, to whether it's for themselves or people down the road. So you kind of learn that there's, you know, there's other ways to go about besides just going in and finding the so-called big institutional money, especially when you're a pre-revenue biotech at the time. Now that we're a little further along, now we're talking to a little more institution investment banking world. But the other thing we've learned, all that is really puts us, you know, I guess our science ahead of schedule, is the people that we got involved with on our management and science advisory board instead of just being a specialized in one aspect of bioprinting, these guys are all collaborating together to kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together. So, you know, most firms in the space tend to have one person that's really good at one part, say vascularization, and that's the area they focus. We're trying to bring the whole team together to be active and get the whole process worked out.
Fascinating. Well, it sounds like it's going great and just a fascinating life experience in trying to make this work and make it go. You know, we're hopeful you'll get from point A to point B. It would certainly be magnificent for all of us. Marvin, how do people learn more about Bio4Life and what you guys are doing?
All right. Well, the best way is we have a very extensive website, which is www.biolife40.com. So on there we have definitions of what bioprinting is like, but we spent some time doing some short videos so people can actually see the process and how we take one cell, differentiate it into another cell, and then put it together into a bioink. So a lot of people have heard of 3D printing, but the little video will show you how instead of using different metals or typical inks, now you're actually using human cells. So the website tends to be the best. We were fortunate to have a lot of press and media coverage. So all that's on there also. The other thing, as I mentioned, with the Reg A Plus filing that we did, there are public records with the SEC that you can look at a little more detail about our filing. But really, the best way to start is check a look at the technology on the website, you know, get in touch with someone like myself or one of my partners, and we can kind of go through a little more detail depending on the interests and the needs. And the ultimate goal is at some point, and when someone is, you know, a very committed investor in us, is to have a trip down to our lab in Houston. We've partnered out within the Texas Medical Center inside the Johnson & Johnson Labs, the ability to use all their equipment, and it's beyond impressive. So the people go down there and meet the science team and actually see how the heart's performing, how they're able to print it, almost sells itself. So it's exciting times. It's proven that it's happening fast, and we just hope that they keep staying ahead of schedule and meet the milestones.
Well, that's fantastic. Marvin, I want to congratulate you on what you're doing, what your team is doing, what Steven's doing. Just a magnificent undertaking, and we sure wish you guys success. It's much needed. Thank you so much for the inventiveness and the excitement you're creating. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the time. Take care now.